Good to see everybody here. Thank you for your presence. Those who are visiting with us, thank you for being here as well. Hope you'll stick around and let us get further acquainted with you. And I hope you'll take your Bible and listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit put some words together for us to contemplate very seriously. There are two passages that are involved in the story of the sins that led to the beheading of John the Baptist. One is in the account of Matthew. The Spirit wanted us to learn something there. And the second account is in the book of Mark. There are some differences between the two accounts. One gives a few more details and helps us to see a bigger swath of the time element in which John was in prison and the changing that took place in the heart of Herod. Herod Antipas was the king. Somewhere along the line, he had heard of John the Baptist and crossed paths with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you remember, was in the wilderness preaching near the Jordan and telling people everywhere that they needed to repent, to change their lives, because the kingdom of heaven was almost here. Get ready for the kingdom of heaven. What a fantastic message. But it is a message for everyone to look inside yourself and turn around. Turn your hearts to God. Make sure that you are right with God because you want to be in the kingdom of heaven. What a fantastic message. And what a loving message. Some people would like, you're telling us to change. You're telling us that something is wrong. And therefore you're being a judge. And that's what how people respond typically today is that if you tell people you need to repent for the kingdom of heaven is here to enjoy, to enter into, then people would be calloused and hardened because such a message does not fit the modern times. But God put this story here for us to learn some very important lessons. So let's look at Mark's account. Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 14. Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 14. Now, King Herod heard of him, talking about John, for his name had become well known. He's talking about Jesus, actually. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. So somehow he has managed in his guilt about having put John the Baptist to death. He imagines that Jesus is John the Baptist resurrected, and that the powers Jesus was performing was an indication that John the Baptist had come back. He must have had a guilty conscience. Others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet or one or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself, and so Luke is letting us in on the mind and the heart, what's going on in his mind, what's going on. He himself had sent and laid hold of John. He had heard about John. He sent and laid hold of him and bound him in prison. And listen, for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. In other words, Philip had been married to Herodias. His brother had been married to Herodias. Somewhere along the line, he got the impression from John that that was wrong, that he should not have done that. And it bothered him and Herodias so much that they said, we've got to stop this man from preaching because he's going to make us look bad. And so for Herodias' sake, he had married her. And so he sent and laid hold of John, and it says they bound him, put him in prison. Here's a man that's just doing good. He's just preaching the truth. Everybody needs to hear the truth. This man is not putting himself forth as somebody that is more deserving of anything. He understands that he is nothing compared to Jesus, and he says so. He says, Jesus has got to increase and I've got to decrease. The fame of Jesus is what John was preparing people for. It was not about John, but his preaching was true. Verse 18 says, for John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Such words cut him to the heart. And you talk about the scorn, a woman scorn. Herodias definitely did not appreciate him talking about our marriage like that. And then Herodias held it against him. Sometimes people will not forget. And they will feel slighted. And this wasn't John's fault. He wasn't trying just to slight them. He was just trying to make sure that they understood, here's your responsibility. If you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, you're going to have to change this situation. It's not lawful for you to have her. Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, as he had just enough respect for John to realize he hasn't done anything worthy of death. And he realized, he says, knowing, verse 20, that he was a just and holy man. He was separate from other people. He was a holy man. And so Herod protected him. That is, he protected him to a point. He protected him from Herodias' wrath for a while. So get this picture. Here's a man who hears that his marriage is unlawful. He doesn't think about, well, what will that mean? What will that mean if I go to the judgment seat of Christ? If I go to the judgment before God, what is it going to mean? John telling me this. He didn't think about it that way. All he could think about is the here and now, the comforts and the pleasures of here and now. How inconvenient it would be for me to give up Herodias at this point. And we've got a daughter to care about as well. But he had enough respect for the law of God. Herodians usually did know enough about the Jewish law. Some of them had Jewish blood in them. And so they knew the law said what it said. Then a man shall be separated from his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. And the implication is, when you're one flesh, let not man separate what God has joined together. Herod had enough fear of John and enough respect for his holiness and for his justice to protect him. And then it says, and when he heard him, that is, he heard him himself now. He must have gone to the prison and talked to him. And over a course of time, he realized this was not personal. John was not directing his words at me. At me and my wife because he wanted us to be miserable? No, he just wanted us to be right with God. And so he heard him. And it says he did many things. I suppose that means that John told him a lot of other things, the things he needed to take care of. And he did many things, but he just didn't do this one thing. that is, put away his unlawful marriage. But he did many things. And he heard him gladly on every other topic, but this one, that's off the table. You cannot put that one back on the table. I already heard what you said. I don't believe what you said. I'm not going to do what you said. But you can talk to me about anything else and I'll hear you gladly. Then, verse 21 says, an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers. Oh, everybody who was somebody came to town. And the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half my kingdom. So, she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. You remember? She hated him. She still held those words against him. She wanted his head. Nobody's going to talk to us like John the Baptist did. Immediately, she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oaths, and notice this, he's got a safe face too. He made this promise in front of everybody, and it says because of those who sat with him, all the high officials, everybody that was important, was sitting around thinking, what's he going to do? She's asked for John the Baptist's head. And Herod said, I'd give you anything, up to half your kingdom. And so, because he promised, we've got somebody here that's pretty selective about his morals. Yeah, I got to stand by my promises. Now, it doesn't matter that I took my brother's wife. I mean, that's, you know, selective. I keep oaths, but I don't want my brother to keep that oath, and I don't want my brother's wife to keep their oaths. But I am going to be selective about the oaths that I keep. Because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. And immediately, the king sent an executioner, commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison. Brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Now, let's just review this for our own benefit. What is involved? Obviously, there's a lot of sin going on in this story. A lot of sin. What are the sins that are going on in the hearts of Herodias and Herod? When a man that Herod says is a just man, knows that he's a just and he's a holy man, and he's just simply told us the truth of God's Word, what are we going to do about that? What kind of sins would make a person do anything except say, bow their heads and their hearts to the ground before God and say, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner, and I will repent. Well, the first thing I make note of here is, as I look at these sins, among those things is I see somebody that made a rash oath, a rash promise. I'll give you, he didn't even have to promise her anything. Just because she danced and he liked what he saw. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 says, do not be rash with your mouth. And let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. God's looking. Remember, Jesus says, for every idle word that men will speak, they'll give account of it on the day of judgment. So you've got to really be very careful about what you say. And especially any promises that you say you're going to keep, because God's looking, and God doesn't take any promise flippantly. And so Ecclesiastes, God's in heaven, and you're on earth. God is looking at you. He hears what you say, and so you better be very careful. Let your words be few. Verse 5 says, it'd be better not to vow at all. That's what Jesus said too. Be better not to vow than to vow something and not follow through and pay what you vowed. Maybe Herod is selective about what he's going to do about his vows, but he certainly did not think it through when he says, I'll give you anything. Be very, very careful what you say. James chapter 1 reminds us, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to listen, to take in all you can. But you be very slow to speak. You measure your words. You think about what you're going to say before you say it. Herod is an example of someone who made a rash vow. Remember another person, Jephthah, made a rash vow, something he regretted making, but he felt compelled that he had to follow through with his words. You tell somebody you're going to promise them something, you better follow through with it. Better not to promise anything than to promise something and then not follow through with what you promised. So look out for rash promises that you might make. Second of all, I see here a spineless man who's not going to stand up for life and principle. I mean, once she said, I want John the Baptist's head on the platter, he should have thought, well, that's murder. He's a just man. He's a man that does not deserve to be put to death. He doesn't even really deserve to be in prison. Is there nothing sacred about human life? And what about the principle that you're here to fear God and keep His commandments? That's your whole duty in life. And keeping God's commandments means I love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all of my soul. That's the first one. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How could Herod just forget about loving God and thinking about God's will? And how could he do this to his neighbor if he followed through with loving his neighbor as himself? Is there nothing sacred about life? This man appears to be a very spineless man. He cannot stand up to his wife when he knows that she's not thinking clearly herself. He cannot stand up to his own principles. Got to keep oaths. But I didn't keep my oath when I got Herodias. I didn't allow her oath to stand before. He's a spineless man. Genesis chapter 9. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That was capital punishment that God instigated back there in Genesis chapter 9 after the flood. That life is sacred. And if you take a life, then your life is going to be taken. Here's a man who didn't stand for life, and he certainly was not standing for God's principles. Thirdly, I see a man here who was in an adulterous marriage, an unlawful marriage to God, but he and Herodias had made it lawful to themselves. After all, we are political figures, and we can manipulate the law if we want to. He had a hardened heart. He had self-will over his morals, self-will over his respect for God. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you've got to be careful about your heart, about lusting after someone that you don't have a right to lust after. And then he talks about divorcing someone. You don't have to have a right to divorce. And then putting two people in a position of them, then after you've divorced them, to commit adultery. Well, he just flippantly passes all of that off. He engages in adulterous marriage and he resents anybody who would say that's not lawful in the sight of God. And so that's a sin that led to the beheading of John the Baptist. A lack of love and reverence for God and His Word and His messenger. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's something that Herod just dismissed. You dismiss the messenger if the messenger is stepping on your toes. If he looks different, you can use that as an excuse to dismiss what he said. If he dresses himself differently, then that's good enough. We'll just dismiss anything that he says. John didn't come in style. He certainly wasn't riding around in the best chariot, didn't have the best clothes, didn't eat the best kind of things that you could eat. Locust and wild honey was about it. But this man was not like James says we ought to be. James says that we ought to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Receive it with meekness. That is, look at yourself and say, this is what God's word says. This is what I want my heart to be in tune with, to do the right thing. And as Acts 17, verse 11 says, a noble-minded people search the scriptures to find out if it's so. Listen to something and find out if it's so. And if it is, respect it enough and respect the messenger enough to say, well, thank you for bringing the truth to my attention. So those are things that led to the beheading of an innocent man, John the Baptist. Well, there's some good things I'd like us to think about John, though. Here's some good things to think about. John is a good man. He had courage to tell the truth when others would not. If somebody had been there and had spoken up and said before Herod and Herodias started seeing each other on a regular basis and then started liking one another, if somebody had spoken up and said, hey, y'all don't need to be doing that. You're married, Herodias. You've got Philip. You don't need to be seeing another man. If somebody had spoken up earlier, maybe John the Baptist's head would have stayed put. He had the courage to tell the truth, apparently, when others would not. How many have that kind of courage? He knew how to be content with a little. Remember, he just had meager things to eat. What he could find out there in the wilderness were locusts, maybe some wild honey. But he certainly did not have the best of things that we think are really important. And he knew how to accept adverse circumstances. That is, wilderness, in prison. You remember, even when he's in prison and Herod comes around, John talks to him and talks to him about things that Herod needs to think about. And Herod began to respect him enough to hear him gladly. But that's the way John was, and even in prison, he was just kind of he was thinking about the souls of others, because he could see, I'm free on the inside. I may be locked inside this cell, but Herod's the one who is in prison. He's locked in the prison of his sinfulness. He's shackled to sin. And he needs to escape it. And I need to help him because he's in worse condition than I'm in. You see, he knew how to accept adverse circumstances and look at it in another way. He was thinking about helping other people. He knew that life is not always fair. Young people, don't ever say, because you're experiencing something negative, well, it's just not fair. You ever say that? Just not fair. Everybody else gets to do this. My parents are mean, and they don't want me to be happy. Just not fair. John the Baptist reminds us, don't you ever say that. Don't you ever think that. The reason that parents put any kind of restrictions on is because they care so much about you. They want the best things to work out eventually. They've been where you've been. They see the kinds of things that you're not seeing right now, but you will see later down the road. You see, he knew life isn't always fair. And he did. He did desire to be out of prison, but it wasn't all about that. He did have moments of doubt. He sent messengers to Jesus saying, are you the one or not? He had his moments of doubt. But he knew this life is not always fair. There's a better life that's coming. And I tell you this, it's not even fair that God would let us go to heaven. What's fair about that? You serve just a few years and you think you deserve all that heaven offers? No, we don't deserve that. If we got what was fair, we'd all be separated from God forever. Live for the better life that is to come. John thought about, and he talked about the wrath that is to come. And so he also talked about how to get ready so you can avoid the wrath to come. Because he says God's going to gather his wheat into the barn, and that's going to be a good situation for those who bear the right fruit. Well, you see, there are lots of things that we can learn from John the Baptist. Good things. Courage. Standing up for right. Standing up for principle. Being content with whatever you have. Being thankful for what you have. Being able to accept adverse circumstances and learn how to turn those circumstances into stepping stones to improve yourself. And know that life is not always fair. But heaven will certainly be worth it all. I don't think John the Baptist has any regrets. Do you? Will you think that John the Baptist would be somewhere thinking, you know, if I had just not opened my mouth and told Herod and Herodias the truth, I just wish I hadn't have done that. I don't think John the Baptist is thinking that at all. I don't think John regrets preaching the truth that could have saved lots of souls. John the Baptist is etched in our memory and in the pages of God's holy word so that we could recognize some things that we need to put off and some things we need to put on. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, and we can help you with that, if you will repent of your sins, that is, turn away from a life of sin, turn your heart to God, then He can enter into His kingdom if you'll be baptized for the remission of your sins. And we can help you with that. That's the Spirit talking. The Spirit is calling to your heart. And if you want to do that, and we can help you in any way, don't harden it. Don't harden that heart. Do it now. And if you've fallen and need to make things right with God in a public way, and we can help you with that, please come as we stand together and sing this.